Hey guys, I'm Em from the fashion and beauty blog, The Lipstick Fever. When I moved to London over a year ago, I felt like there weren't a ton of obvious resources for women moving abroad or moving cities. My biggest source of strength and growth for my big move was through the inspiring and amazing women from all over the world that I've been meeting. Now, I want to share those conversations with you. We're going to hear from female entrepreneurs, industry experts, and some major female badasses on a global level. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Big Move Podcast. I am your host, Em from the Lipstick Fever, and today I'm having a coffee date with Lindsay Lane. She is the writer and personality behind lifestyle site lindsaylane.com and coveted Instagram account at lindsaylanestyle. Before building a social media infused brand based on her point of view, a blend of humor, style, and female empowerment, Lindsay's fashion career began at Gucci and Michael Kors. She then segued into styling at Elle Magazine before becoming the youngest personal shopper in the history of Barney's New York and stylist at Ford Artists. Lindsay's content includes fashion, beauty, motherhood, wellness, lifestyle, and home and decor. She's appeared as a lifestyle expert on national morning shows and been featured in the New York Times, Refinery 29, E! People and Brides, and has collaborated with leading global brands from Vogue to Louis Vuitton and Dyson to Coty. I absolutely loved this conversation with Lindsay, so I hope you guys enjoy it too. Let's get into it. Lindsay, hi. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
So I'm so excited to have you on. I kind of feel like this has been a long time coming. I've been wanting to have you on The Big Move for a while. And I obviously keep up with you on Instagram, but I kind of feel like there's nothing better than a proper catch up. So I'm really excited to hear what you have been up to.
Oh, I'm nervous.
Oh my God, get out of town. You are a pro. So thanks for joining me. We're on a little bit of like a virtual coffee date. Obviously, there's a 5-hour difference. It's 5 p.m. on my side, but I know it's 12 p.m. on yours. I've asked you to come with a favorite hot beverage. So what are you sipping on over there?
I have a decaf latte with almond milk and cinnamon.
Ooh, I like that. I like your style. Okay, so Linz, for the audience, where are you from originally? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Roslyn, New York. It's a suburb outside of the city. And my family moved to Brookville about 18, 19 years ago. So I grew up in Roslyn, but then my senior year of high school, we moved to Brookville. So my brother went to Jericho. We're like Roslyn and Jericho family.
Okay, amazing. Did you always want to live in NYC or...
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a given that I was going to head that way after college. I lived in the city every summer with the internships that I had, living in NYU dorms with friends, living the nice, young, single life. And it was a great experience. And then after college, I moved in with my best friend, Jackie, into an apartment and started my life there when I was 21.
Okay, amazing. So you've been doing the NYC grind for what feels like probably a while, right?
Yes, since I was 21. Now I'm almost 36 in September. So yeah, doing it a long time.
Absolutely. Okay, and first and foremost, congrats on your beautiful baby boy Talon. He is like an angel. How is new mom life? Like, talk to me.
Thank you. Well, congrats to you on your beautiful baby boy. We are boy moms and... It is, I mean, like, I'm sure you understand, it's, I always explain it as like just the most chaotic love of your life, you know, like you are, your life is just upward in the most beautiful, special way, like feelings like you've never felt before in your entire life. And it's also just like the most chaotic thing because there's no handbook to motherhood, right? We're learning as we go. And each day, I mean, each second is a new experience to learn and grow as a mother and running a business at the same time, as are you. So I think I'm still trying to navigate the balancing act here. So I don't know if that ever really goes away, trying to navigate that. But no. It's amazing.
I completely relate. And isn't it crazy how like all of the cliche things that they say about motherhood are like 100% true?
1,000%. So true. It really is. And it's like, you give up everything of yourself for this tiny human being and you want to just raise them in the most incredible way that you can and hope that you do a great job. So, you know, Talon just turned one. And I just, it's such a milestone. Like, he's so big already. I really can't believe it. So hold on to these little moments with your newborn. I mean, as they say, it really does fly and it goes by so fast.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Happy birthday, Talon. That's so exciting.
Thank you.
How are you kind of currently juggling work and family life? Like, what is it like? Do you have any like tips for new moms?
Tips for new moms. I would say take time. Like, honestly, take time to yourself. Don't feel guilty if you're not online, if you're not scrolling through Instagram, if you can't meet up with friends. Go into your little love cocoon and be there for as long as you can. I'm very proud of myself. Well, when I came home from the hospital, and I'm sure we'll discuss all the stuff I had gone through, but I was just in such a interesting, dark, weird place for myself. And my job, obviously, is to be in the public eye and out there and speak to thousands of people every day. So I'm proud that I came home and kind of dealt with what I had gone through privately. And I really needed, I just needed a break. So stay in your love cocoon as long as you can and be kind to yourself. Definitely unplug.
Absolutely. I love that. I think it's so true. And you have so much going on. It's such a whirlwind. I need to take a tip from you on that note.
Yes.
So to back up a little bit, like for the audience, where did your career kind of really start for you, would you say?
So my career started off at Barney's New York. I was a personal shopping assistant to one woman there and then another assistant to another personal shopper there. And then was promoted at 23 to be their youngest personal shopper in Barney's working history. And rest in peace, Barney's. It's so sad. You know, it's where my whole career started, as I'm telling you. So it's very bittersweet for me to see it really officially close. I just worked my ass off there, hustled. And then when I was promoted, I was literally like thrown into a room with a phone. I didn't have a computer for 3 months. I was like cold calling friends like, hey, it's Lindsay Lane. Come in and shop with me. It's a free service. Like, it was crazy. It really is. Like, it's a movie. It's like a book or a movie, the whole experience. But that's where I started. And to this day, like I said, I hold the Barney's family and I'll never forget what they did for me, how much they believed in me, and the opportunities that they gave me to thrive and be successful at such a young age. I'll never forget it.
Absolutely. I love that. So I feel like you, fashion and styling was kind of always a passion for you. So from there, I guess, when did you launch Lindsay Lane, your blog, kind of officially, and what made you start it?
Sure. So it's such a lengthy career story. And I have been in this industry since I was 18, which is really crazy to think about. I've been hustling just my whole life in this industry. And I love it so much. The good, the bad, the ugly, and just all the, you know, shifts that come with, I guess, being in any industry. But I feel like fashion, you know, gets a bad rap, and we go through all these ups and downs. So I've really been there from the beginning. So after I left Barney's, I was actually signed with Ford Models when they had an artist division in New York City. So I was their first by appointment stylist, which meant that I would style socialites, celebrities, as well as do editorial and lookbook and stuff like that. So they put me in a double contract. Mind you, I'm giving you the way abridged version of this story. We could literally be talking for 2 hours about the whole kind of length of my career and how I got here, because every story and every, I guess, journey like took me on a lengthy path, you know, and so many ways of how I got there were like crazy. So then when I was with Ford, I actually started going on castings for TV shows and commercials. And how that came to play was I told my agent that I wanted to be on television for my job. I was like, I don't want to do like a Real Housewife type thing. I want to help people and dress people and make them feel beautiful from the inside out doing my job. Lo and behold, my agent at the time was at the Soho House and had met a casting director who was casting a show. And I went on 3 casting calls and I kept getting callbacks. And then I ended up booking the job for a pilot that was with Joanna Coles, who is now the editor-in-chief at Cosmo. But she was with Marie Claire. She was at Cosmo at the time. And it was just an awesome show. It was for Lifetime. It didn't end up getting picked up, which was such a disappointment because it really was just such a beautiful way of helping people through fashion. And I really believed in the project. But after doing that, I was like, oh my God, like I am meant to be on camera. Like I always was an entertainer, even as a little girl and a child. I was always singing lessons, dancing. I was an entertainer. And after having that experience, I said to my agents, I thrive on camera. Like I become alive and I love the feeling that I get and I love helping people. And so they started sending me on a lot more castings. Like I went on a casting for The Maxinista and, you know, they were just trying to get me comfortable in front of the camera. And I got a call back for that one also, which I was so honored. You know, this was just like zero media training whatsoever. And I was doing a great job. And then I started blogging was going on. I was about, I don't know, so many, eight, like 6 years late, maybe 5 years late at this time, into the blogosphere. And I said, what's this thing blogging's going on? I feel like I should do it if I want to be on camera. So I started a YouTube channel. And then when I started styling photo shoots, it was becoming very, it was like a fine line, whether I was, you know, the talent or whether I was the stylist. So I kind of started losing my way there. And then I asked them to release me from my contract, hired a TV manager, did a lot of on-air morning work for the morning shows in New York City. And at the same time, I was doing my blog. And my first blog was Lindsay in the Fast Lane, which was like an online magazine, and then rebranded just into lindsaylane.com, which is what it is now, which is just, I've opened up a lot more and it's mostly my personality. It's of course fashion and beauty, lifestyle, and now I'm a mom, so motherhood, but it really is my personality is the essence of my brand. And that's what lindsaylane.com celebrates and Lindsay Lane Style celebrates. So I'm sorry for the lengthy story. I had to take you through everything there.
No, that's such a cool trajectory. And I actually didn't realize like your background in TV. And then I think your timing was probably kind of perfect coming into blogging, kind of like at its infancy and like all of your experience kind of culminating and bringing you to Lindsay Lane.
When blogging started, I was clocking in and out of Barney's every day, you know? So I was just, I was on a totally different path. And I really, sometimes I'm like, how am I can't even believe I'm doing this job that I'm doing right now. I really never imagined it to go this way. As you now know, I was always behind the camera styling people, especially at Ford. I was always passionate about photography and I got to see all the BTS of what goes into a photo shoot and me styling the model. So I was never the subject. Now I dress myself and, you know, model for my photos, so to speak. And on the subject. So it's changed. It's come full circle.
Completely. And I think one of the things you and I can totally agree on is like having a personal brand nowadays feels really kind of important. So I feel like you've done an amazing job both building your personal brand, building a community. So I guess from your viewpoint, why do you think creating a personal brand is like so key?
I'm all about a personal brand and marketing. I just think that if you want to have your own business, no matter what that is, every single thing should be about that brand. Like each font that I pick is so, like every single thing I do is on brand. And if you, it's just, it's your brand is who you are that you show to the world. So it's you in, let's say, paper, pens, logos, websites, podcasts, merchandise, YouTube. It's you, right? You're bringing your being to life. That's what a brand is. So I, for example, I'm all about branding and marketing. Like I do it so heavily. And I remember when a lot of people, like a lot of the bigger influencers used to have different handles and now all their handles are their names, right? So like mine was always Lindsay Lane Style. Like I believe that if you really want a brand and you want to market yourself, like having your name as your, you know, main spotlighter, like headliner, is great. Like, I'm just a big believer in that, because then people say your name, right? They're like, oh, did you see Emily Roberts? Oh, did you see Lindsay? You know, like, people just know your name from that. So I'm just a really big believer in fine tuning what you want to put out, who you are as a brand, and then figuring out what the things are that you want to have as part of your brand to put out to the universe. Like I said, it could be like pens, papers, logos, like my So Lindsay logo, like I handwrite that. Like, there's little things about my brand that nobody knows, but I know it's mine and only mine. And I think people need to pay attention to that, because other people do notice those special little details.
Completely. I think it's all in the details too. Speaking of, you posted a story, which I reposted, and I like to sprinkle in the gifts. You know, I go.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like I probably already knew this. You have your own branded So Lindsay gifts, and they're very you, like you're saying, they're very on brand. They just like, they make a lot of sense, but yeah, it's all in those kind of like additional details.
Oh, 100%. And thank you for mentioning that. I love the gifts. I also have my own filters on Instagram, and you know, these aren't necessarily things that are making me money, right? Because people can use my filters for free and people can use my gifts for free. But they're little touches that make people feel like they're more of my interactive community, right? So they have a piece of me, and they have a piece of something that I'm using every day too. And it makes it more fun. It's so much fun.
Yeah,
I love a good marketing and branding challenge. I love it. I like eat this stuff up.
No, I completely get it. And so on that note of community, you obviously have an incredibly engaged and loyal following. So what does your, I don't like saying reader, because I feel like we are getting away from the long form blogs, but what does your reader look like? What does the Lindsay Lane audience kind of look and feel like?
So the Lindsay Lane audience, and it's so, I love this question, because I think from afar, and as you just said, like, I have worked so hard on nurturing my community and essentially becoming a mentor and type of role model to a lot of the women and young girls that follow me. And I honestly do that on purpose. I try to answer everyone's DMs that I can. Lucy, my amazing assistant, of course, helps out with that. But I'm committed to making anyone's life who follows me better. And that has to do with them as a person, or them just feeling better about, you know, themselves, their family, what they do day to day, their mindset. If you follow me, I become your BFF. And that's just because I'm a girl's girl. That's just who I am. And I have that in my profile now, because I recently added your new BFF a couple months ago, because, you know, when people come to your feed and you're the first, I know that's the first thing that people see. I'm like, who am I? You know, who am I? What do I become? And so many messages come in. Lindsay, I feel like I know you, but I don't. You do such a great job at making your community feel like we're your friends and like we're your best friend. You're the sister I never had. And I'm just like, I become their BFF. So once you commit to, like, you need to have a goal. Like, for me, my feed, my goal is to inspire, to make a difference and a positive difference at that, and to just make people feel good, honestly, about themselves and, like I said, just everything else in their lives. And hope that I can, you know, my wish is that I do bring this light to the space, because I am trying to change the landscape of the people. You know, I love that my personality can make someone feel good. And it's not just fashion and clothing and like the materialistic things, but like I said, the essence of my brand is my personality. And when people follow me for my fashion and my style and all that other, you know, fun life stuff, but they stay for my personality because I make them feel like they're actually part of something special. They're part of my community. And I love each and every one of my followers. And it's hard work. I mean, Emily, believe me, like, there are times when I'm like, I want to hang out with Talon right now, but I also want to respond to a woman who has just lost her child and she's leaning on me because of that. And she wants advice and comfort. Like, believe me, I have girls who are 9 years old and like to grandmothers who are like in their 80s. So I get a whole family, to answer your question. And I have been speaking to someone who lost a child for many years, and we've just kept in touch, and, you know, and I bring her comfort sometimes, but then I'm also speaking to like a 9-year-old about how she wants to be an influencer and how does she grow and what does she want to do? So the spectrum is just, it's incredible. It's really incredible. I'm so, you know, if there's ever a time for a props to me, like and we should feel prouder about ourselves as women. I feel like we're so hard on ourselves. Like, I'm so proud of myself for this community I've been able to build. And I'm just so, I'm honored to be part of these people's lives every day. Truly, truly. It makes me so happy.
It really is incredible. And I was going to ask as like a next question, like what tips you would offer like other bloggers and influencers who are like looking to build their online community. And I feel like you literally just answered one of them, because I feel like I haven't heard enough people say like the responding to the DMs and the engagement. Mm. So would you say that engagement is like so key to that community?
Well, here's the thing too, going into, you know, I also know a ton of people who are just so big and they don't DM, you know, it really depends. Like I also nurture my community so much and I struggle to grow in numbers now, you know, yes, I have a big following and I know that. And I'm very, very proud of just building that and really working so hard at that. But I do feel stuck, you know, I don't see growth at the beginning of this all as I did, you know, 4 years ago. So it's, and I'm sure you feel that too. Like, it's just so hard to grow every day. Everyone's asking me what the secret is. I'm like, if you find out, let me know, because I go up and down. People unfollow, people come obviously follow. And then I think this week too, especially, I think we're just in such an interesting time in the world. It's like, and once you become a mother, just things that you thought were important before, they're just so not important anymore. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, why did I get upset about that? Or, oh, look at my baby. Like, why am I so stressed about this? And those are the moments that like, I need to bring myself back down to earth. Like if I ever have a negative thought about Instagram or just like work, I'm like, look at my child, my baby. I'm happy. I'm healthy. I have a great life, and let's just move on, you know, and try to have better thoughts. So it's just, it's really hard to grow for everybody. And I do believe if you nurture your community though, people respond well to that and they stick around, because I can't even begin to tell you how many times I've responded to someone and they were like, oh my God, you responded. Like, you're the first influencer that's ever responded to me. I'm like, why doesn't anyone respond to followers? Like, why else would I do this job? You know, like I'm trying to build a community. I have goals. You know, who's going to buy my product? Who's going to buy my books? Who's going to buy my merchandise? You know, you have to have a plan, you know? So I think always long-term, like if you want products one day, I would nurture your community, because those are the people that will support you because you've supported them, right?
Completely. There's so many things you said that like resonate so well with me, but
oh,
right.
Good.
There are not enough hours in the day, one. And then mm-hmm. I would say, honestly, I think an engaged following so much more important over mm-hmm. you know, that massive 1, 2, 3 million, you know, whatever yeah. that number is, because you can't keep up with it. It's a tough thing. So I think there's really something to be said for having that niche audience, you know, you have a specific community, mm-hmm. and you have that engagement with people. And I think it pays off more.
Yes, totally. And I like that the industry also has taken that turn. Like they're starting to see like, oh wait, it's really not about the following. Like, let's see what her engagement is. 100%. So I was happy when I saw that turn, starting to happen, you know, because now it's like, oh, okay. People are starting to realize that. And I don't have to have, you know, a million followers, because I don't even know. I hope one day I get there, but I don't know if I ever will. And I have to be okay with that. You know what I mean? Yes, I hope I get there. Goals, goals, goals. But if I don't, like, we have to, you know, we have to be okay with that too. We can't put all that pressure on ourselves.
Completely. So I want to shift gears a little bit and touch on one of your most recent collaborations, which was really, really fun to watch. Obviously, I'm over in London, but I keep a close eye. I'm a New York gals. Your Hanky Panky collaboration, which obviously proved to be an incredible success. Why do you think that was?
So I would say, here's the thing. Going back to what I just said and nurturing, I think my community trusts me, right? So I do well with selling items through stories and Instagram. So when people trust what you have to say and they're buying what you're selling and it's not yours, when something that's yours comes out, I think the curiosity level expands and it maximizes and people are curious to see, oh wait, okay, so this is a product that has her name on it. What is she going to put out? You know? So I think there's excitement, there's curiosity. And I think people were just eager to see what I was going to do. And of course, people knew something was coming. They didn't know necessarily it was hanky panky because we had obviously a set day when we were blasting that. But when it was hanky panky and when the partnership is just so on brand and it just makes so much sense and people genuinely love hanky panky, right? And then my followers who love me, they come together. It's just like a force that is so strong. I think people were just excited all around about it. And I think it was just the price point was great. It wasn't like a $500 jacket. You know, if you wanted a thong, yes, it's still expensive for a thong, but you could own a tiny piece of the collection that was also a piece of me. So I think people were just curious and excited. And it was my first big, it was the biggest deal that's ever happened to me in my career, at least in this space. So super grateful for that whole experience. I miss the whole process.
I'm sure. And so I guess on the flip side, was there like a biggest hurdle or like something super challenging during the project?
Oh yes, without a doubt, shooting my lingerie video campaign 2 months postpartum with a C-section. Hands down, scariest to this day, I think, scariest thing I've ever done in my life. It was almost a year ago coming up, actually, and in August. And it was, I mean, forget it. Not only am I putting myself out there, you know, 2 months postpartum, I'm not back to my normal weight because of that, but I'm also like in a thong and in sheer lingerie rolling around in a bed with the brightest lights ever. And this is being blasted through Nordstrom's, who was the retailer that had the exclusive on the line, excuse me. But it's going to all my followers and it's just out there in the world and the universe to see. And I have to say, I do think that it was a nice, I was nervous in the beginning and I'm a big believer that everything happens for a reason. And I do believe that me, and I thought I looked amazing. I'm very proud of my body. Don't get me wrong. But obviously, had I not been 2 months postpartum, I would have been working out like crazy, probably super, super thin and fit and toned, but I was curvier. You know, I had boobs. I had butt. I had, you know, I was definitely curvier for me. And I think that was just meant to be with the collection. I liked that I was that way. And I love my body both ways. But I am saying if I wasn't postpartum, I would have been like working out. And this was just the way it was meant to happen for me, you know?
Totally. Wow.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Kudos to you, because I too ended up having a C-section. So I can completely relate to the recovery that comes along with that. It's like, it's
so hard.
It's all of the things. So, wow, that's really, really incredible.
Thanks, Em.
So, another thing I feel like you are always putting out into the ether is like positivity and like good vibes, and you're always giving back and working with a number of nonprofits. So I guess why is that something that's been kind of important to you with your brand?
Philanthropy has always been something I'm super passionate about. I've grown up in a very philanthropic family, and I've just been exposed to giving back and the importance of doing good by others, no matter how great or small. So now that I have this platform, it's without a doubt that I would want philanthropy to be part of, not my brand, because I don't think being a philanthropic needs to be part of someone's brand, but it needs to be part of what I spread and what I want to share. And that's, of course, spreading love, right? And there's no better way to do that than to give back to those that need it, those that are in need. So the recent one that I did was with Sunrise Day Camp, and Sweet 11, which is my passion project. And Sunrise Day Camp is a summer camp for children with cancer and their siblings. And it's a full summer free of charge camp, the first ever in the world. And we raised over $7,000 for them in literally 4 days. And it was incredible. And I just think philanthropy is so important. I think more influencers should be using their feeds to be philanthropic. It doesn't have to be all the time, but I do think so much good comes from giving people, you know, giving back to people who really need it. And we have these platforms to do so.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with you. So what is next for Lindsay Lane Style? Is there anything like upcoming that you want to touch on or I guess share with us?
Sure. So I do have something very exciting coming out in October. And I think you specifically, Emily, will be very excited.
Ooh.
It is another collection of something very special. And it's for anyone who has a baby in their lives. That's all I can say.
Okay, well, that's exciting. And now I'm dying to know. Keep an eye out. Lindsay, thank you so much for coming on and taking time away from the baby to chat with me. This has been so much fun.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy for you and your little love.
Oh my gosh, thank you. So lastly, where can everyone follow you, find you, keep up with you?
You could find me at Lindsay Lane Style. I'm Lindsay with an I, and my blog, lindsaylane.com.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much, Linz.
Thanks, Em.
Thank you guys for listening. Please, please don't forget to subscribe, rate and review on iTunes, and we will catch you on the next episode.